अथ श्रीललिता त्रिशती स्तोत्रम् अतिमधुरचापहस्तामपरिमिता मोदबाणसौभाग्या अरुणामतिशयकरुणामभिनवकुलसुन्दरीं वन्दे हयग्रीव उवाच ककाररूपा कल्याणी कल्याणगुणशालिनी कल्याणशैलनिलया कमनीया कलावती कमलाक्षी कल्मषघ्नी करुणामृतसागरा कदम्बकाननावासा कदम्बकुसुमप्रिया कन्दर्पविद्या कन्दर्पजनकापाङ्गवीक्षणा कर्पूरवीटी सौरभ्यकल्लोलितककुत्कटा कलिदोषहरा कञ्जलोचना कम्रविग्रहा कर्मादिसाक्षिणी कारयित्री कर्मफलप्रदा एकाररूपा चैकाक्षर्येकानेकाक्षराकृतिः एतत्तदित्यनिर्देश्या चैकानन्दचिदाकृतिः एवमित्यागमा बोध्या चैकभक्तिमदर्चिता एकाग्रचित्तनिर्ध्याता चैषणारहिताग्रता एला सुगन्धिचिकुरा चैनः कूटविनाशिनी एकभोगा चैकरसा चैकैश्वर्यप्रदायिनी एकातपत्रसाम्राज्यप्रदा चैकान्तपूजिता एधमानप्रभा चैजदनेकजगदीश्वरी एकवीरादिसंसेव्या चैकप्राभवशालिनी ईकाररूपिणी क्षित्री चेप्सितार्थप्रदायिनी ईदृगित्यविनिर्देश्या चेश्वरत्वविधायिनी.
Good evening and welcome to our second class in the energies of transformation, the fierce and gentle energies of the transformative shaktis. We've been listening to some passages from Sri Lalita Trishati, which is a chant that's connected with one of the South Indian goddess traditions, and it invokes Shakti as Lalita, as the particular form of the goddess whom we've been accessing this week and whom we're going to continue to access in our meditation as we continue. So again, it's divine, delightful, powerful, sweet to be with you here in the conference, to be reading your shares, both the ones that have come in on the listserv and the ones that are coming to me privately. And it's been particularly fascinating both to read and to experience myself the different ways that these goddesses show up in meditation and in dreams and in life. Really the most fascinating exploration for me over the years that I've been practicing with these devis is to see how all the different ways that their transformative energies can appear to us. They're so radically different depending on the time in our life, of course, our personal temperament, our gender, our psychological issues, the level of consciousness we are parked at in any given moment. And so the same Shakti, the same goddess, can show up as a beautiful young woman, as a bear, as a deer or a bird or some other animal, as a waterfall, as an inner lover, a very delightful, seductive inner lover, as a sharp-voiced maternal scold, as, you know, some kind of wizened crone-like energy. So one of the things that the sacred feminine will do as we start to meditate on her is to uncover, really, to shed her light, because the goddess is light, into all the ways that the feminine has historically appeared inside our personal unconscious. And that can be ecstatic, delightful, lover-like, surprising, and also quite intense. So all of us, men just as much as women, are through the practice of focusing on and identifying with and invoking the sacred feminine energies, we begin to experience how both the feminine and the masculine as sacred energies take form in the psyche. All of us, whether we're in male or female bodies in this lifetime, and I assume that all of us have been sort of transgendering from lifetime to lifetime, but all of us are at some point called upon to explore the so-called feminine and the so-called masculine qualities of consciousness in ourself, both as personal energies, as, you know, what we could call gender-specific energies, gender-specific energies being part of our human embodiment, but also as cosmic forces, the masculine and the feminine as aspects of the divine are very, very intimately present in our consciousness. And one of the gifts of tantric practice is how we learn to identify them, flow with them, and enter into them. In tantra, one of the teachings of the Vijnana Bhairava, which is my favorite manual of meditation, is it's right at the beginning of the text, and in it, Shakti, the goddess, asks Shiva, the divine masculine, her consort, to tell her how she can enter, how she can experience complete self-realization. And Shiva begins to give her a very beautiful explanation of how the experience of total Shivaness, of total self-divinity, is experienced in those moments when the ego has dissolved and we have merged into the fundamental bliss that's the ground of our being. He describes it quite beautifully. And then he says, but that ground consciousness is unknowable. It can only be known through its face, which is Shakti. So he goes on to say, Shakti is the face of Shiva. And so the entrance point into that vast unknowable presence, which is the ultimate divine masculine, that aspect of the masculine, which is, of course, beyond gender, just as the total divine feminine is beyond gender. So the road into, the route into that aspect of ourselves is through Shakti, through the energetic, bliss-bestowing, form-creating aspect of the divine. So the fact is that even though in our human embodiment, male practitioners might experience the inner feminine differently than female practitioners do, at the deepest level, what we're all always tuning into when we do these practices is that very profound form-creating, bliss-bestowing capacity of the divine, of the sacred, which we identify in tantric practice as Shakti, and we call her feminine because we are practicing a tradition which bases everything on the fundamental polarity, the two-in-one quality of reality. And the sages called it Shiva Shakti, divine masculine and divine feminine, even though they were speaking of qualities of consciousness that are so incredibly beyond gender. So that's one aspect of the reality that we recognize as we practice with Shakti, that these goddesses, each of these goddesses, is a doorway into the absolute, into the ultimate. Another thing we realize, that we come to realize, is that these goddesses are real. They're personal. They are actual light forms that have a, what I would call a sacred individuality. In other words, they exist as subtle presences in the universe, in the subtle realms. And as we begin to tune into them, to invoke them, we discover their reality, sometimes, you know, in quite visual forms. I've been talking to some people recently who have been having very, very highly personal visitations from various goddesses as a result of their practice. More commonly, and this is certainly my experience, they show up in our lives energetically. And we experience them in the weather, in our mental states, in the display of our emotions. They work through our neurons and dendrites. They literally, the goddesses, the Shaktis, are constantly operating through our bodies and minds, through our DNA. And it's important to realize that, the powers that we call Shaktis, while sacred and personal and, in a sense, distinct from our human embodiment, are also taking form as every aspect of this world, including our human embodiment. So what I mean is she's never just present in one form. And that's why when we begin to practice with the goddesses, we can feel her energy moving in our body. We can literally feel sometimes hormonal changes or deep emotional changes. She shows up as through events in the outer world as synchronicities. Very, very normal to have insights and realizations arise, to feel her in your dreams, as so many of you have, and also to experience karmic blockages coming up to be seen and released. So all of these signs of the goddess happen simultaneously, and they happen through our day, through our night. And in that way, as we start to recognize her as such, we can also start to realize that invoking the goddesses, chanting or repeating her mantras, contemplating her form, is a little bit like calling her on the phone. It really is. She's answering us. And answering us, she begins to help us shift our understanding of how energy works in our system. So before we begin our practice, our mantras and our first meditation, I want to read to you a passage from D.H. Lawrence, which actually, I don't know how many of you have read D.H. Lawrence, who is one of the great master novelists, English novelists of the 20th century, and who was profoundly connected to the instinctual stream running through human life and very, very connected to the earth and to the Shakti of desire. He wrote about relationships between men and women. He wrote about sexuality very famously. And this particular essay, which is called The Stream of Desire, begins by saying that what we call human love is a conundrum because love is about merging, losing your sense of separateness, whereas human individuality is all about maintaining the individuality of the ego. And he says that we would be better served if we recognized that the experience of love is actually an experience of a two-faced cosmic, of a two forms of the cosmic force that he calls desiring and desirability. So in other words, all of us are desiring and all of us are being desired. And he gets that this force of desiring and desired, being desired, is really the force that holds together the cosmos. In other words, he intuits the goddess Lalita. So I want to read you this. He calls the desirous force the masculine and the desired force the feminine, but he means that force as it manifests throughout the universe. So instead of the Greek, know thyself, we shall have to say, be thyself, be desirous, and be thyself, be desirable. By thyself doesn't mean, be thyself doesn't mean assert thy ego. It means be true to your own integrity. As man, as woman, let your heart stay open to receive the mysterious inflow of power from the unknown. Know that the power comes to you from beyond. It is not generated by your own will. Therefore, all the time, be watchful and be reverential towards the mysterious coming of power into you. Be thyself is the grand cry of individualism. But individualism, and this is really beautiful, individualism makes the mistake of considering an individual as a fixed entity, a little windmill that spins without shifting ground or changing its own nature. And this is nonsense. When power enters us, it doesn't just move us mechanically. It changes us. When the unseen wind blows, it blows upon us and through us. It carries us like a ship on a sea, and it roars to flame in us like a draft in a fierce fire or like a dandelion in flower. I am myself, and I remain myself only by the grace of the powers that enter me from the unseen and make me forever newly myself. And I am myself also by the grace of the desire that flows from me and consummates me with the other unknown, the invisible, tangible creation. So this is, I think, a beautiful, intuitive description of Shakti. And with that, we'll get ourselves into a comfortable upright posture. Sense the connection of the base of the body with the seat. Feel how with the inhalation, the hips and thighs and sitting bones relax and get heavy and sink into the ground. And how with the exhalation, the upper body moves upward, up through the crown, while the shoulder blades release onto the back and the chest opens. And we sense in this moment the way that this invisible power that we call Shakti, who is the subtle form of the goddess, is breathing us, flowing into our nostrils, entering us through our pores, opening our body to the life force, filling our body with the life force, which is at once our essence and the essence of everything around us. And with that thought, with that recognition, we'll chant the goddess Bija mantras, Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundaye Viche, recognizing that as we do, we invoke the deep Shakti of inspiration, of sacred speech, the power of auspiciousness, the power of manifestation of divine pleasure, and the fierce form of Shakti, that form of Shakti which cuts away our limitations. And in this practice, we invoke both the gentle, the beautiful, the forms of the goddess who expand our manifestation in the world, and we also invoke those forms of Shakti who chip away the limitations that keep us stuck in manifesting in worldly ways and allows us to open to the greater force which only wants to love us through these bodies and minds. Thank you. Shakti, which is the form of the goddess, the breath flowing through your body, enlivening your body, bringing your body into manifestation, into health. We're going to do a practice which some of you have done with me before, which is actually a practice that I learned from a teacher named Judith Blackstone, which, as we're going to practice it, happens to incarnate three of the core energies of the transformative shaktis: the power of awareness, the power of love, or we can call it emotion, positive emotion, and the quality of power itself. In each of these qualities, we can locate in a part of our subtle body. So in this meditation, we're going to access these particular qualities of the Shakti in the different centers of the body. And just allow yourself to open to the words. Notice what the effect is. Don't worry too much about whether you're getting it exactly right. Just let the practice unfold for you. So you can bring your awareness into the head and have the feeling that the breath is flowing in and out through the third eye, which is in the center of the head. So it's actually this place that we want to begin to activate is just above the hard palate in the very center of the head. And you can imagine, for the sake of meditation, the breath is flowing in through the forehead as though there were an opening in the forehead. And you feel it touching this center in the very middle of the head, between the eyebrows, just above the palate, just above the hard palate. And as you allow the breath to flow in and out into this center, touching this center, have the sense that you're opening up to the experience of pure understanding, pure awareness. So without trying to visualize this or figure it out, just have the thought, have the recognition. Within my head is the quality of pure awareness, pure understanding. That awareness, let's say, has the qualities of illumination. It's luminous. It's clear. It has the quality of clarity. It has the quality of insight. It's that capacity that you have to know, to perceive. Pure awareness and understanding. And as the breath flows in and out, you let yourself experience that capacity for being aware inside your head. That subtle knowingness, it's a property of consciousness that you usually train on objects and people, just letting itself experience itself. And as you let the breath touch into the center of the head and allow yourself to contemplate the quality of awareness, of knowingness, this unique property of your consciousness, which is also a quality of Shakti. You imagine that awareness, understanding, is flowing from your head down through your body. And you experience your inner body, your neck, your chest, your abdomen, the space inside your arms and hands, your lower body, your legs, your thighs and knees and calves and feet. You feel them alive with awareness, with this quality of perception, of understanding, the clarity, the luminosity of the goddess as consciousness. You bring your attention now into the center in the chest. Feel how inside the chest, inside the heart center, is the seat of the quality of emotionality or love. Find the word that feels most resonant for you to describe this quality of awake emotion, awake love. Inside your chest region. Recognizing that this quality of love has many flavors. It's not static, it moves. It's filled with energy. It's one of the qualities of Shakti, her love, her quality of love, manifests as emotionality within the human heart. And you just let yourself experience the very alive quality of emotionality, of love. inside your chest. And notice that the quality of emotionality, the love quality in the heart, is a different flavor than awareness. But you allow it now to spread through the chest, up into the head, and down through the torso, again filling up the body, flowing down through your lower torso, your hips, your inner sacrum, down into your legs and thighs and calves and feet, up into your head. So in your inner body, quality of perception, of understanding, is mingling with the quality of emotionality and love, these qualities of Shakti. You don't have to think too much about it. Just let yourself feel the quality of energy. And if you get lost in thought, come back to the breath. And now, let your awareness come into the area behind the navel, the area of the lower abdomen. And see if you can let the breath, let the inhalation flow down towards the pelvic floor, or just someplace in the neighborhood of the abdomen, the lower abdomen, the area below the solar plexus. And in this region, see if you can experience the quality of power. Shakti is power. How does power feel to you as you let the breath flow down towards the belly, into the belly, activating the deep sense of power within your body? And just for a moment, see if you can let power flow through your whole body, down through the sacrum, into the legs, down into the feet, up through the upper torso and chest, flowing down the arms, into the neck and into the head. And let yourself inhabit your body, having the recognition that the Shakti, the energy within your body, takes the form of awareness, the form of love and emotionality, and the form of power, capacity. And that all these qualities are enlivened as we bring our awareness to our inner body as a repository of Shakti in the form of awareness, love, and power. The breath flows gently. Notice where your attention is centered. And if you'd like to, you can open your eyes. We're going to practice today with the goddess Chinnamasta, who is one of the most complex and profound Shaktis, deities of the Mahavidya tradition. And as we continue our practice this week, we'll also be returning to our Lalita meditation, deepening our Lalita meditation, even as we notice the way meditation on Chinnamasta can give us the experience of an amazing kind of self-empowering freedom that can also empower others. So one of the ways that we get to recognize these wisdom goddesses, as we've been saying, is that they help us recognize the truly transpersonal quality of our energies. So even when these energies moving in our body have a very personal story attached to them, as we learn to let go of the story, we can start to actually realize that we are being, let's say, blown and fired, as D.H. Lawrence says, filled and transformed by literally the wind of Shakti. You know, so for example, you can see the energy of anger as a manifestation of the goddess Bhairavi, who is a very fierce energy whose activity within your being is actually to cut through obstructions in a very forceful way. She's that aspect of Shakti which can really break through anything that gets in her way. And as you start to notice anger at its root, anger when it's first arising, you can perhaps start to see that it's not personal at all, that it's a current of very transpersonal energy that is actually arising to show you perhaps that there's something that needs to be let go of or looked at or cut through. And of course, what we then do is attach a story to it and imagine that we're angry at somebody. I mean, of course, sometimes we are. But the deepest way to work with the energy of Bhairavi is really to recognize that what she is an energy of a particular form of strength, and to learn how to tune into the actual felt sense of anger in your body, to let go of the particular story, and allow that energy to really begin to lend her power to the process of transformation so that she can do what she really wants to do, which is clear away your veils. And in the same way, when we experience the energy of the goddess Dumavati, who several people mentioned to me in private emails this week had a particular meaning to them. Last week I called Dumavati, whose name means smoke, the smoky one. I called her the Shakti of disappointment. She's the energy that manifests as the dry spells in our life when we feel disinterested or lacking energy. And what she really embodies is the periods in life that John of the Cross, the great Christian mystic, calls the dark night of sense and the dark night of the soul. And in the dark night of sense especially, which is really more about Dumavati, the dark night of the soul is more about Kali. In the dark night of sense, it feels as if all the benefits of your practice have disappeared. Your meditation might be dull or sleepy, or you might just not want to sit, or maybe you injure yourself so you can't do your yoga practice, you can't take a walk. And this happens in your life, your marriage, your job, your interest in your career. All your reasons for getting out of bed in the morning stop exciting you, and you literally dry up. So what the Mahavidya tradition points out is that something similar to what John of the Cross says, which is that we can't make progress in spiritual life without going through these periods when nothing makes sense. So the dryness, the depression, is one of the seasons of the soul, like the ground in winter, when our energies lie fallow. And the growth that's happening is happening on a very deep level. And the way to really, I would say, understand the transpersonal beauty in this state is to sense the presence of the goddess Dumavati. And as you do, your feeling of emptiness will change its quality, and you begin to realize that beneath it, there's a profound letting go of certain expectations and ideas that we have to let go of in order to really know ourselves on the deep level. Eckhart Tolle writes that his awakening came out of a period like this where he realized that there was a part of the self that remained apart, that witnessed his emotional state. And with that, he began to recognize that the whole notion of a permanent self, a permanent egoic self, was actually not real. And that's one of the gifts that Dumavati begins to show us. She's one of the Kshaktis that lets our sense of limited individuality flow away. So in the sadhana of Shakti, the falling away of the aspects of the self that we've clung to is a significant stage in realization, and it leads to the stages beyond it, including to those very delicious aspects of our practice that I like to call the divine romance, where energy merges with awareness and we really feel the intense bliss that is one of the qualities that tantric self-realization promises us. But one of the reasons that it's so important to explore these shaktis is because it allows us to start to honor our own energies as divine forces and to honor the divine forces within our energies, which of course doesn't mean that we don't work with our psychological issues. It simply means that we become more and more skilled at allowing the power that moves through us and that in any moment can wake us up to our intrinsic beauty and inner certainty. It means that we are allowing ourselves to realize the big picture. So take a deep breath and exhale. Feel your way into your inner body, allowing the breath to flow in down towards the base, down towards the pelvis, the core of the pelvis, where Shakti in the form of power has her seat, allowing the Shakti to flow out through the heart, where Shakti in the form of love and emotionality has her seat. And as you do, be aware of the space in the center of the head. The seat of Shakti is pure awareness. And we'll speak about Chinnamasta, the extraordinarily mysterious headless goddess. Chinnamasta literally means headless one, the one who is without a head. And if you've looked at the picture that we have in the private area of the website, you'll see her in her very beautiful form, and I'll describe it. I'll describe her form to you, just in case you don't have the drawing in front of you. Chinnamasta is dancing. She's in a dancing pose, which means that one of her legs is raised. She's taking a step. She's very, very fluid in her movement. Her body is curved in the dance. And one of her feet dances on a couple who are in sexual embrace, a tantric embrace. They're making love to each other. The couple are Kama and Rati, the god of desire, and his consort, her name means delight, sensual bliss. And they're also Shiva and Shakti. So part of the significance of Chinnamasta as a transpersonal force is that she is the Shakti who draws the energy of desire, who draws up on the energy of desire and sexuality and creates in us the upward flow of Shakti that begins to turn our life energies into the subtle inner meditative states that are represented by rising Kundalini. So in one sense, Chinnamasta represents Kundalini rising to the crown, and Kundalini is also represented by the snake that's wrapped around her girdle. She's naked, except for a jeweled girdle, and around her neck is a necklace of skulls. And in this form, several of the goddesses, of course, have skull necklaces. Skull necklaces are really very powerful iconography of tantric goddesses and tantric male deities as well. The skulls in Chinnamasta's case represent the obstructive emotions which Chinnamasta is able to dissolve as rising Kundalini. She enters our obstructive emotional tendencies and she purifies them. She dissolves them, and eventually with her help, we learn to dissolve these obstructive emotions even as they arise, so that they begin to reveal their forms as pure energy. In one hand, Chinnamasta holds a vajra, which is a diamond-shaped scepter if you've practiced Tibetan Buddhism or looked at Tibetan deities. You recognize this. It's the vajra scepter, which is, vajra in Sanskrit means thunderbolt. And the thunderbolt represents the mind in a state of complete diamond-like non-dual awareness. The fact that she's holding a vajra signifies that Chinnamasta is a goddess of non-dual awareness. She's a goddess of enlightened consciousness. And of course, in her other hand, she holds her own head, which has wildly flowing hair and a beautiful face and an open third eye in the center. So the goddesses who have a third eye are goddesses who are awakened. They represent awakening. And there's fluid, which we think is lifeblood, that's streaming from her neck. It's rising from her neck like a fountain. And it's rising in three streams. There are two female attendants, one on each side of her, and their mouths are upturned to receive the stream of the goddess's lifeblood, her life energy, her Shakti. And the third stream is flowing into the mouth of her own severed head. So what does this mean? As you can see, first of all, it's a very shocking form, and let's honor that shocking quality of Chinnamasta. She's the form of the tantric goddesses that often appears on the cover of books on the tantric goddesses. There's just something about her form that really confounds all our ideas about what reality is about. So she's a goddess of the wake-up call. That's one of her meanings. And we're going to engage her on several levels. So in our practice with Chinnamasta, what we really want to do is recognize what she means for us in our meditative practice, what she means in the sadhana of freedom from ego, what she means in terms of what we could call our enlightened bodhisattva practice, the practice that all of us are engaged in, either consciously or unconsciously, of offering gifts to the world, of offering the gifts of our practice and of our unfoldment to others, which is a big part of what Chinnamasta stands for. And there are other ways to understand Chinnamasta. She's a lot of the meaning of this form is about healing psychological wounds, offering up our woundedness and allowing it to be healed by the life energy that comes from the goddess. So the important thing to realize about Chinnamasta is that even though she has this fierce, even weird form, she's fundamentally a Shakti of enriched life energy. One of the truths about the tantric goddesses is that each form of these wisdom deities signifies the mind in a particular face of enlightened wisdom. And one of the beautiful things about the tantras is that they show us these different facets of the jewel of wisdom. So Lalita's face is bliss and delight. The face of Bagalamukhi, the crane-headed goddess, is this will to remain completely steady, to be totally steady in your practice. The face of Tara is liberation from difficulties. The wisdom of Bhuvaneshwari, whom we'll be practicing with next week, is utter nurturing spaciousness. And Chinnamasta is the pure revelation of non-dual wisdom that arises when the false self dissolves. So in every tradition, this recognition of the gesture of offering the head, sacrificing the head, is profoundly significant. It represents, of course, the offering, the sacrifice of the discursive mind, the surrender of the false self-ego, the letting go of limited ideas. And it's this understanding that to reach the deep self, to unite with our divine self, requires at a certain stage that we be willing to let go of the intellect, of the ideas, of the concepts, that because any idea, any concept, any form of intellectual understanding will in the end keep us from recognizing that which is beyond the intellect. And I want to say here that the recognition of this truth is not a dismissal of intellect. In fact, one of the qualities of the post-Chinnamasta practitioner's mind is that the intellect is incredibly sharp and precise, precisely because its egotistical and limiting qualities have been sacrificed. So this image of the practitioner offering his head as a gift to God is one that you see in every single path, especially the devotional paths, but very much also in the Buddhist path, which is not especially devotional. Kabir, the great poet of self-realization, writes, "The lover is never slow in offering his head to the beloved's feet." And this offering of the head is not a suicidal gesture. It's a very, very skillful, powerful, and sophisticated practice for dissolving the obstacles between yourself and reality. And for this reason, Chinnamasta practice, the practice of Chinnamasta sadhana, is actually a practice that's given to very advanced meditators as a way to enter directly into self-realization. There are several myths about Chinnamasta's origin, but she's described as an aspect of the goddess Parvati, who's, of course, the consort of Shiva. She's the incarnation of primordial Shakti in a very beautiful wifely form. She's a consort. But Parvati is also Durga, Kali, and Chinnamasta. And in this story, she manifests from within Parvati's body while Shiva and Parvati are making love. And in this story, it's said that Parvati is on top, which means that the Shakti, the energy aspect of the Absolute, is dominant, which usually means that some unique form of manifestation is about to take place. In this case, the manifestation of the enlightened practitioner out of the embeddedness inside the ordinary aspects of human life. So Parvati arises as Chinnamasta, as this fierce Shakti, and a few days later, she goes to bathe in the river, the celestial river near where they live. It's called the Mandakini River, with her two attendants. And after they bathed, the attendants, whose names are Dakini and Varnini, the attendants tell her that they're hungry, and they ask her to feed them. So I just want to say that Dakini, the female attendant of Parvati, Dakini is one of the names of the enlightened female practitioner in Tibetan Buddhism. So Dakini, Parvati's attendant, she's a celestial version of the female practitioner, the force which in Tibetan Buddhism is considered the force of Shakti that comes into an individual practitioner, especially a male practitioner, and enlivens his practice. And Varnini, the root of Varna is differentiation. So she's the quality in consciousness that differentiates. So these two female attendants ask the goddess to feed them, and Parvati takes off her head. She literally just removes her head, and then these streams of blood come out of her neck, and the two attendants drink the blood from the mother goddess and are refreshed and enlivened. And then Parvati puts her head back on her neck and they go home. Now, there's a few other versions of the story. One of them has Chinnamasta arising as a battle goddess during one of Kali's battles with demons. But in that case too, when she's done, she puts her head back on her head, back on her neck. So the fact that she puts her head back on is really a recognition of the mastery of the realized practitioner. In other words, when we have fully embodied, when we're fully imbued with the full power of the goddess, we can remove our false self-ego, our individual sense of identity. We can let go of the discursive mind, stop the mind, and then bring it back when we need it to live daily life. So Chinnamasta represents, on one level, an extremely potent and skillful aspect of our life power. She's the power to eliminate the egocentric perspective and yet act through the individuality as a unique ego, a unique self in a post-realized state. So the image of Chinnamasta, the headless goddess, is one of the really potent visual metaphors for freedom from the mind, and it's also a metaphor for sudden awakening. There's a great book which several of you I know have read and which I sometimes talk about, by an English writer called Douglas Harding, that was written in the 1960s. It was one of the first Western, purely Western books about awakening to kind of come into the spiritual world. And it's called On Having No Head. And in this book, he describes a spontaneous experience he has while trekking in the Himalayas, where one day he just loses any sense that he has a head. And he describes how when he's not aware of his head, that the experience is of pure seeing. And he says that he can see from 360 degrees. In other words, he sees everything in front of him, everything on all sides, and everything around him. And simultaneously, he realizes that actually, in normal life, we're not aware of the head. You know, you can't see your head unless you're looking in the mirror. Some of us can see the tip of our nose if we really squint or if we have a really long nose, but generally, you can't see your head. And so it's possible to actually experience pure vision without the sense that there's a head on your shoulders, and come to find out when we lose our consciousness of having a head, we also lose our consciousness of being separate from our surroundings. And of course, that's one of the great recognitions of realization. It's the experience of connectedness, of our consciousness as imbued with the consciousness that's everywhere. So one of the ways to access the awake state, which is the gift of Chinnamasta, is to meditate on headlessness. And we're going to practice that now. So take a comfortable posture. Close your eyes. Let your attention flow with the breath. Feeling that you're being breathed by the energy, the prana of the universe. The prana shakti, the goddess in the form of prana, is flowing in and out of your nostrils, flowing in and out of your heart, flowing really through every part of your body, flowing, if you will, through your pores. So let yourself ease into the sense of the breath flowing in the body. And imagine that your head is the sky, quickly and immediately, without thought, because you can really experience this. Let your head be pure space, pure sky. Realize that thoughts can flow through the sky like clouds. The breath can flow through the sky like wind. You can let yourself expand as sky, above, below, behind and in front. Let yourself be sky, totally open, spacious, unconditioned. You are pure sky. Your head is the sky. You're at ease, letting yourself experience the spaciousness of sky, thoughts moving easily like clouds floating in the sky. And maybe you can also feel this spacious sky-like energy through your whole body. Or through some other parts of your body. Just let yourself open to the experience of sky-like spaciousness. Inhale and exhale. And before you open your eyes, consciously place a lid over your head so that if your head is feeling very open, you replace the top of your skull, like as if you were putting on a hat or a helmet. Take a deep breath in, breathe out. And I want to take just a minute or two and ask if anyone has something that you'd like to share about that meditation or a question you'd like to ask. And if you do have that impulse, you can unmute yourself by pressing *7, *7. And if the Shakti doesn't want to open your eyes or open your mouth, that's okay too. So as we meditate, contemplate, qualities of the goddess Chinnamasta and realize what a powerful representation she is of awakened consciousness. Part of what we start to recognize is that when the contraction of ego is removed, then the natural movement of consciousness is towards generosity, towards literally sharing one's own life force. And one of the lessons that I've really received from meditating on this goddess is to recognize that when we feel limited, when we feel contracted, then sharing our energy, sharing our life force, even though we may do it quite generously, it's depleting. It actually makes us lose energy. And when people around us are drinking our life force as Chinnamasta's attendants are drinking hers, it does actually draw from our life force in a way that can be exhausting. And you know, you experience it when you're constantly giving your life energy to others. without being replenished at the source. You get drained. Whether, you know, if you're caring for children or caring for a sick person, you know what it's like to feel drained. But what Chinnamasta shows us is that when we're letting ourselves be fed by the life force, by the stream of light, by the primordial Shakti, there is actually a constant replenishment at the source. So the life stream can flow from us, and it also feeds us, which is part of the meaning of the stream of light, the stream that flows from the goddess's neck into her own open mouth, is that Chinnamasta, as the power of Shakti, is constantly generously feeding the world and also feeding herself. So this is really an extremely primordial goddess image, of course, because what we understand about the divine feminine, especially in old civilizations, is that, you know, she also represents the energy of life, the energy of the earth, the energy of primordial nourishment. And really, our life is being fed by this stream of grace that constantly flows from the body of the Shakti. And the one of the powerful recognitions, one of the powerful gifts of embodying Shakti, of meditating in Shakti and taking her into ourself, is that as we become the goddess, we're able to nourish the life around us with that same freedom. One of my favorite contemplations of Buddhism is in a prayer that's sometimes said before eating, and it says something like this. It says, "Millions of beings gave their lives and labor so that we may eat. May this food nourish us so that we may nourish life." So this is really one of the meanings of Chinnamasta. So I just want to take a moment and meditate on the recognition of how life is nourishing you. So think for a moment about the last meal that you ate, about where the food came from. If it was vegetables and grains, somebody planted them. In my neighborhood, you actually can see people planting them. I live very close to the Salad Bowl of America in Salinas. And all around my neighborhood are fields with lettuce and strawberries and people walking among the rows, planting and harvesting. And you really experience how much labor it takes to get you your food. And if you're eating animal food, of course, a living being gave its life so that you could eat it. And someone harvested the food and took it to market, packaged it, stocked it. Someone probably sold it to you. Some of you may have taken it from your own garden, so the labor is yours, but most of us bought it. And the electricity that powered the computers that recorded the transaction and that let you drive your car and that let you cook the food all came from the effort of human beings who created the system and from the power of water and wind. And the pots you used to cook it were made by someone out of metals that came from the earth. So everything we use, that we sit on, that we live in, that we wear, is created by the interaction of human beings, animals, earth energies. And imagine yourself in the center of this great interdependent force of mutual grace and support. And consider that the Shakti is at the source of all this. It's her power, her life force. connects it all, that allows it all to flow, that feeds us all. So Chinnamasta is life feeding itself, drawing the generative energy that creates our bodies through the coming together of the masculine and feminine poles, the desire generated out of the act of love that creates an embryo who grows into a human being, and that same desire that's transmuted through meditation into the rising spiritual energy of Kundalini and gives us the embodied power, the embodied energy to fuel our inner practice. And at this point, as this transformed energy flows through our spiritual bodies, the Shakti not only nourishes all of us in these very concrete embodied ways, but it flows into others as the force of awakening. So, of course, as an esoteric symbol, this figure of Chinnamasta dancing on the couple in the act of love, holding her head in her hand, the Vajra in her other hand, feeding her attendants with the streams of life force that flow from her neck, she represents the spiritual teachings. And the particular power of Chinnamasta as a representation of teachings and lineage energies is that what she's showing is not necessarily the teacher sitting in a pedestal at the head of the room, not the sage on the stage, but the actual stream of Shakti, the stream of teachings, the stream of spiritual energy that flows through lineages, flows into the people who connect to them, and then flows through each human being into the others in their lives. So Chinnamasta energy, the awakening power that Chinnamasta represents, actually flows through every one of us who receives it and then offers our own auspicious life energy as wisdom to others. So in one sense, Chinnamasta energy is the Shakti of lineages. She's the spiritual life stream who flows through different spiritual lineages. And the Shakti that enlivens, empowers all teachings. And in fact, historically, that spiritual life stream flows in different ways depending on the lineage. Each lineage has its own flavor, its own quality of empowerment. So the energy of a mystical Christian transmission is different than the lineage energy that flows through a Tibetan Buddhist lineage or a Sufi lineage or a Hindu lineage. They each have their own quality, but each of these lineage energies, as it flows through different human beings, gets actually disseminated into the world in millions of different ways, in millions of different forms. All these streams of spiritual teaching and spiritual energy mingle with each other. And even though most of us feel a particular connection to one or another of these streams, or maybe to a few of them, but the fact is that the Shakti that is symbolized by Chinnamasta's life energy flow is now flowing through the world, through this global world, in such a way that it's actually accessible through many different voices and many different people, not only through the official representatives of the lineages, but through all those beings who have practiced sufficiently to be able to carry it and offer it, perhaps only to one person or a few people, or to the kids in their high school class, or into the people their eyes lock with on the bus. But Chinnamasta's Shakti, her enlivening, empowering, generous energy, the energy of these teachings, is now being offered through teachers who would never call themselves teachers. And because the generosity of Chinnamasta is such that it simply has to be shared, this image of the goddess with streams of energy, streams of life flowing from her open neck, is one of the most profound goddess symbols for our age. So we're going to sit now and let ourselves receive the energy of the Shakti, the energy of Chinnamasta, as a flow of light. And we're going to open ourselves to receive that energy through the third eye center, through the center of the head, because Chinnamasta's Shakti is all about the enlivened, awakened mind, the awakened head. So you can find your posture. Feel the connection of the base of your posture with the seat, with the earth. Feel the upper body lifting up through the crown. And take a deep, full breath, letting the energy of breath, the Shakti of breath, flow down towards the core of the pelvis. And then flow up through the heart to the center of the head. And again, another breath. Ask the goddess Chinnamasta to be present with you. Ask her to reveal her enlightening, awakening, empowering goddess light energy. Ask her, and ask that you be open to receive her wisdom in any way she wants to give it to you. Your awareness now is centered inside your inner third eye, in that place in the very center of the head, just above the palate, between the ears, behind the eyebrows. And with your eyes closed, feel as though the energy of Shakti is flowing in through the center of the eyebrows, touching the Ajna Chakra, the center of enlightened understanding in the middle of the head. And feel that the goddess Chinnamasta is standing in the air before you. Her body is lithe, shimmering with radiance. In one hand she holds the Vajra, the five-sided diamond-shaped scepter. In the other hand she holds her beautiful head. Her breasts are bare and radiant, and from her neck flows a stream of white light, a powerful radiance, the light of lightning-like awakened wisdom. And feel that this light flows into your head through the crown, flows into the very center of your head, and begins to expand through your brain, turning your mind to light. The radiant white light of the goddess flows in through the crown, flows into the third eye in the very center of the head, radiates out to fill your brain and your skull, and then begins to flow down your body, down through the neck, filling your shoulders and your chest and your arms. Goddess is dancing, radiant white in front of you. And the rays of her awakening lightning-like light and wisdom flow in a stream through your crown and pour through your body, filling your body with radiance. Just let yourself receive it. Let yourself open to the light of Chinnamasta, the awakening Shakti of Chinnamasta. Breath flows in, drawing in her energy. The breath flows out, and as it does, the breath flows through your body, and so does the light. And as you allow the light of Chinnamasta to pour into your body and fill you with itself, recognize that as you move through the world this week, you are, in so many ways, making an offering of that light to the others in your life. Realize that you don't have to make an effort to do this. You simply have to hold the intention of allowing the light of the goddess, which is so freely offered to you, to flow from its source into the other beings that you come across. Not flowing from your personal limited energy sources, but actually flowing from the goddess. Let yourself recognize that the more you're in touch with the energy of this primordial Shakti, the more her power, her light, her love can flow effortlessly through you and touch others. And the more you let this happen without trying to own it or without trying to appropriate it, without worrying about it, without even thinking about it, but simply having the intention that the goddess act through you as a force of love. Just see how her love wants to inform your life. Thank you so much for being present, for entering into this beautiful vortex of Shakti, for being part of the class, for the practice that you do and the life you live. You'll be getting a homework assignment later. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Om Aim Hrim. Om Aim Hrim. Om Aim Hrim Klim Chamundai Vijay. Om Aim Hrim Shrim. The mantras, the bijas of the goddess, reverberating within us, opening us, empowering us, enlivening us, revealing to us who and what we are.